Father in heaven, thank you for another wonderful, blessed opportunity to again share your word and help us to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. This is the fourth horse. If we can have a picture of the horse. It is the fourth horse. We had four horses. Oh, maybe I could, if you can find the picture of the throne. Maybe we could start with the picture of the throne. Try to get through this as quickly as we can. Like that. See if you can find the picture of the throne with all the stuff around the throne. We have four horses. We have four creatures, four living creatures around the throne. Each creature says, come and see. Each time that the creature says, come and see, we have a seal that's open. Jesus opens the seal. He got the scroll from the right hand of the one that sat on the throne. We'll get it here in a minute. He got it from the right hand of the one that sat in the throne. Every time the creatures would say, come and see, a horse would appear. The first horse was a white horse. The second horse was a red horse. The third one was a black horse. And the fourth one, as we're looking at today, is the pale horse. There's the throne. Here we go. This is the, there we go. There's one of the creatures. One, two, three, four. Four creatures, four thrones. These are the 24 elders. This is the Father that sits on the throne. This is the rainbow. This is the sea of crystal glass. This is the seven spirits. The seven spirits are here. The sea of crystals here. This is the sea of crystal. You see this scroll? You see that? That's the scroll that Jesus is the only one that's able to open it. The seven seals. This is the scroll that Jesus takes out of the hand of the Father, and he is the one that is able to have the scroll. Now, if we'll have the fourth horse, which is the pale horse, and there's the pale horse. Notice death, and we see a sword. Now we'll read the scripture that has to do with that. Verse 8, if you're looking in your Bibles, I looked and behold a pale horse. His name that sat on him was death and hell. I want to talk about death and hell. Death and hell is, of course, referring to exactly what it is, people that die during the tribulation period. And hell, hell is brought up because these are unbelievers. These are people who refuse to accept Christ as their Savior. So that's why we have the fourth horse, death and hell. These are people who have refused to accept Christ during the tribulation period. And they also die from the plagues. They're not immune to the plagues. Just because they have the mark of the beast, they're not going to be immune from these plagues. A third, or it says here, let's read a fourth. I'm sorry. A third's another part when we get to the trumpets. Death and hell followed with him. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death. That's 25% of the earth's entire population. Some 700 million. The fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, there's been two interpretations of that. The first interpretation is common sense. When the scripture seems to make common sense, we shouldn't need to seek any other sense. So the common sense of this is the actual beasts of the field. The actual animal kingdom turns against mankind. So much for those people that worship the animals more than mankind. So much for that. We'll see how that works out for them. The animals will turn against them. Now, the word beast, we have to also understand, is also represents kingdoms. Beasts in the book of Daniel represented kingdoms. Could it refer to the kingdoms in the end of the world? It could. It could, but I'd like to read a scripture here in the book of Amos that spoke about animals. Amos chapter 5. Be a minute here, I'll find it. Verse 19, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Here, that was the scripture I was looking for. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Now if I can have the tribulation saints, that looks like people under an altar. That would be our next picture. These are just illustrations to help. That's the, okay, while you're on that, we're on this seal here. We're on this one here. We have six seal and that seal to open yet. We're right here on this seal. Okay, we're on the seal just, and this seal, when it's opened, introduces this. That last seal, which is the seventh seal, when it is opened, there is no judgment. It simply introduces the first trumpet judgment, which is found in chapter 8, verse 1. Okay. There we are. Let's go with the next picture, see if we can. There we go. All right. That's just an artist's conception. This is the altar. This is the saints. And of course, there's much more. These are just a small representation. It says of these people who died in the tribulation period, they became Christians during the tribulation period. But as a result, they die through tribulation, because if you accept Christ as your Savior, you're going to be beheaded. That's the Antichrist's answer to Christians. They get beheaded in the tribulation period. So these are the souls. It's a representation of the souls from under the altar. The altar was very similar to the altar in the Old Testament. The altars always had four horns. They had four horns on. You can't see the two in the back. See, you can't see this one back here. But there was always four horns. The four horns pointed in the four directions, meaning that salvation was always available to all people, all nations, all kindreds, all tongues, all races. Salvation has always been available to all people. And then in Old Testament times, if you had a run-in with the law, if you felt that you were being chased in a way that you didn't think that you were guilty, you could run to the altar and you could hang on. You could jump up and grab one of these horns and hang there. And as you hung there, you would get mercy. You would hang on to the horns of the altar and obtain mercy. And they would plead your case if you ran in those days to do that. Now, are you with me? Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That's including the people who died during the tribulation period because they accepted Jesus as their Savior. And they cry with a loud voice, verse 10, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They were given white robes, every one of them, and it was said of them that they should yet rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They're told they must wait. There'll be many more that will be killed. You got to understand, we're only in the first portion of the tribulation period. We're only on the first quarter of the tribulation period. We're only on the first quarter. We have more to go. We've got longer time to go. The great tribulation begins in the last part of the tribulation period. Okay, so they received their white robes, and in another verse it says they gave them palms. Palms is a source of victory. It's also a sign that they were martyred. Palms was a sign they were martyred. Verse 12, are you still with me? Verse 12, chapter 6, we're trying to make some time. I've got 10 minutes. I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. There's six things that happen when this sixth seal is open. I believe this is a time when the Lord is beginning now to take vengeance, to pour out his wrath upon those inhabitants of earth who have been persecuting his Christians, who have been killing his Christians. This is our Lord's response. Verse 12, I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Now, I know the interpretation here is that a star is of great size. One star is bigger than the earth. The only way a star could fall to the earth is if the Lord would destroy the star, or the star would explode. If it exploded, it would become meteors. It'd become fragments of the stars, and they'd be meteors. So it says stars. First of all, one star is, I don't know if you knew that. One star is bigger than the earth. It's amazing. one star is bigger than the earth. So the star would have to explode in order to hit the earth. Okay? Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed. We read it. We sang it as a scroll. The clouds rolled back as a scroll. We just sang the song. It's where they got it. Heaven departs as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and Allen were moved out of their places. The kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the rocks and mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is coming. Who shall be able to stand? You can all stand if you accept Christ as your Savior. And why don't they do that? Why don't they repent? But they don't. They're too hard-hearted. They're rebellious. They could repent. They could just simply repent. Say, Lord, we're sorry, but we don't see that. Doesn't say they did. Some do. Some repent. Some are saved. And the picture we had up are those who accepted Christ as their Savior during the tribulation period. Chapter 7, still with me. After these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow. The reason they're doing that is because the winds will help distribute all the other plagues that's happening in the earth at the time. The wind would help spread that virus or plague. And in order for that to happen, that can't happen until 144,000 servants are sealed. They got to be sealed. And an angel from the east, and they try to, you know, some of these commentaries get too detailed. They got to figure out who this angel is. I'm sorry, folks. I don't really care who the angel is. We ain't going to be here to see it. There's angels. There's seven angels that are around God's throne that do his bidding. There are seven angels. There's four living creatures, but there are actual seven angels that really do more bidding than the other angels. In heaven, there's myriads of angels. And I'm sure that they all got names, because the Bible says the Lord named every star. Did you know that? He named every star. You're listening to me? The Lord named every star. He even says the hairs of your head are what? Numbered. Wow. What a God we serve. He even knows the hairs of my head. He named the stars. He has every angel in heaven has a name. They all have angels. They all have names. I can give you some names here. That's why I brought the book. I don't stick with it too much, but I try to memorize most of what I have to share with you. See if I can find the names of the... Did you know that all the names of the seven angels' names are not written in our Bible? There is a Bible called the Apocrypha. How many of you ever heard of the book of the Apocrypha? Mike did, because these are also books that were not contained in our Bible. They did not meet the stringent requirements to be in our Bible, and maybe sometime we can talk about that, of why they did not make it in our Bible. But anyway, that's one of the books that did not make it in our Bible. And so we have the book of the Apocrypha. And the book of the Apocrypha does name these angels, if I can find my... There we go. Now, we have two names we know. We have two angels' names we know for sure, and they're one, and they're two of the seven. Does anybody can name me two names you know for sure? Michael and Gabriel, that's correct. Michael and Gabriel. Now, here are the names of the others. Uriel, Raphael, Rechuel, Remiel, and Siriel. These are seven archangels. They are seven archangels. They are greater in power than the other angels of heaven. They have more power than all the others. There are classifications of angels. There are classifications of angels, and these are seven archangels. They stand before the throne and do God's bidding. Now, we won't get to it today, but these seven angels will be given seven trumpets, and each time they blow a trumpet, there'll be a plague on earth. And we'll get into that maybe 2 weeks if I have a message on Thanksgiving. Okay, so these seven angels will be standing before God's throne, and there will be given to them seven trumpets. All right, let's just keep right on going here. I saw another angel descending from the east, and there's been commentaries trying to figure out who he is. Like I said, this is the one. There's so many angels, I really don't care who it is. It's just an angel having the seal of the living God. And this is what he does. He tells those other four angels, obviously, this angel has some authority because he tells the other four angels, verse 1, chapter 7, to hold the four winds of earth so that they do not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on the tree. This is why you have to hold those winds back, because this is what I need to do. Verse 2, I have the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. Now it's interesting at how many different sects claim to be the 144,000. I'll just say this in passing. The Seventh-day Adventists apply it to their faithful of their communion. They believe that they're part of the 144,000. Charles Taze Russell, who was a founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, I remember when they were called Russellites. How many here remember when they were called Russellites? Now they're called Jehovah's Witnesses. But they were called Russellites before because their founder was Charles Taze Russell. They also teach that 144,000 include only the overcomers of their persuasion who continue faithful to the end. Following the teaching of the system commonly called Millennial Dawnism, they also claim 144,000. Whenever you meet people who tell me that they belong to the 144,000, I usually say, which tribe, please? Because it's very clear that these are Jews. Because of the next reading we see here, verse 4, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And it gives a listing there. I don't have time to read it, but I can only tell you that there are two tribes missing, that of Dan and Ephraim. They were involved in idolatry, and so we see they're not listed among these tribes. The tribe of Dan, which was replaced by the tribe of Levi. Levi was never before part of the 12 tribes. Levi was the priestly lineage. It was the priestly lineage, and they were never included in Old Testament times as part of the 12 tribes. So in the book of Revelation, we see they are included as a tribe. They took the place of Dan. The other tribe, I said Ephraim is missing. The father of Ephraim was Joseph. And so Joseph replaces Ephraim here. And that is in verse 8. Okay, moving on. I'm going to try to get as much covered as I can. After this, I beheld a great multitude, which no man could number. That again is those saints from off the altar, from under the altar. It's the same group. Verse 9 is the same group as verse... is the same ones. Verse 10. It's the same ones in verse 10 from chapter 6. It said, how long and true, Lord, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them? It's the same group. This is the same group of people. All nations, kindreds, people, tongues stood before the throne, before the Lamb. They were clothed with white robes. And this particular scripture says they had palms in their hands, which shows they were victorious even over death. And they cried with a loud voice, same group, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, unto the Lamb, and all the angels that stood round about the throne. And the four beasts fell before the throne in their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. And one of the elders answered and said to me, and who's he talking to? He's talking to John. What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And John said to him, sir, thou knowest. John's talking to one of the elders, one of the four elders. John says, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Again, it's the same group that came from out from under the altar. Therefore are they before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall no longer hunger. Listen to this. They shall hunger no more. We know that they came out of the tribulation period, a time of great famine. They hungered. God knew what he was talking about. He said, you won't have to hunger anymore. He's talking to this special group that hungered in famine during tribulation period. And you won't thirst anymore. Why were they thirsty? Because the water supplies have been polluted. That's why they're thirsty. All the water supplies have been polluted in the tribulation time. So they went through famine, their hunger, they're thirsty, and the sun of light shall not shine on them, nor the heat anymore. What's that? Because the sun's going to be extremely hot. The sun will be extremely hot during tribulation times. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. He's talking to that special group, the ones that came out of the tribulation period. The Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them to living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, this is the group that evidently had been crying or weeping. Why is that? Why? Because he probably had loved ones, family members, that aren't saved. They got saved. They got saved, but they lost their head because of, we'll see that in another portion of scripture, but they're crying because of their family members that didn't make it. But God will wipe away the tears from their eyes. Now that's the tears it's talking about. It's talking about this particular group that was saved during the tribulation hour. They're the ones, it says, and he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. That doesn't mean that us as Christians who already met in the rapture that we'll be crying. No, 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 no. That don't have anything to do with us. We're a different group. We're a raptured church group. This is a different group. This is a group that gets saved during tribulation hour. Okay? With me? All right. So that brings us now to chapter 8. Verse 1, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Wow, right there we go. That might be a good place to start right there when we get back. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Notice there's no judgment. There isn't any judgment poured out. The seventh seal is now opened. Jesus opens it, and there's no judgment, but there's a space of a half an hour. Do you know, that's probably where they get, there's always a peace before the storm. There's a peace before the storm. There's a half hour silence. Can you imagine everything that's going on in heaven? And all of a sudden, heaven is quiet for a half an hour because God is about to pour out his wrath upon the earth. Because we're now going into the second part, the first half of the tribulation. We are now getting into the next second part of the first quarter of the tribulation. We're starting that. And the angel came and he stood at the altar and he had a golden censer, and it talks about the incense. We don't want to go no further than that because we don't have time to discuss it anyway. All right, chapter 8 and verse 1. We'll see, maybe next Sunday. I think I'll have a message on Thanksgiving next Sunday. We'll just take a little break from this, if that's okay. And we'll have a message on Thanksgiving. I just think it would be appropriate. All right. What I see in a study of Revelation is God's mercy and his grace is extended to all. Even during the tribulation hour, even when the trumpets begin to sound and a third of everything on the earth is affected, God still has a remnant. He still gives people an opportunity. Why a third? When the trumpets blew, why only a third? God could annihilate the entire earth if he so desired. He could. But why would he want to? He doesn't want to. He's not willing that any should perish. We can see God's grace and his love and his mercy even in this terrible hour. We can see it. It's as clear as day. His wonderful love. He has such love. Such love. Even in the tribulation hour, the worst thing that's ever come upon this earth, God's mercy and grace is still displayed. It's still in display. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. Let's all stand. It's time to go home. Father in heaven, thank you for our hour today. We've just been a wonderful time. Good to be with my brothers and sisters and this wonderful family. Lord, we don't know what this week holds, but we don't worry about it because you hold the week. You have it in your hands. We thank you, Lord, for it. We're thankful, Lord, to love you, and I'm glad to be saved today. I'm glad you forgave me of my sins. And I'm glad for your wonderful love. I'm glad for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us all afresh and anew as we face a new week. We thank you for all that you do, all that you will accomplish in each of our lives. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.